I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We've been asked several times how to host more people or build out entertainment spaces for folks.
There's a lot of things that we can do. Depending on the size of your base, we can add in an island to get you more countertop space. We can put in some larger ovens so you can cook larger meals. We do beer bars. We can do wine bars. We can do soda machines, coolers, all that kind of stuff.
Please stop by our showroom, 3030 Wake Forest Road. That's The Designery at thedesignery.com.
Hey, it's Chris from That Station. We are inside Studio J, presented by Come Here and See with the amazing Shaky Graves.
Hello.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
You've got a show tonight at the Ritz.
At the Ritz.
With Abraham Alexander.
Correct.
This is towards the end of your summer tour?
Honestly, I have no idea.
I think you're wrapping
up. What time
up.
Or month or year it is. It's sort of like, I think I've been on tour for, this is like season 8 or something like that, season 22.
Yeah, it looks like you wrap up at the end of August, but you quickly go right back out in the fall, in September.
Yeah, this to me, this is like the kind of beginning of the rest of my life.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah,
well, let's talk about the album, because it's, is it really an album? Can we call it that?
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
it's a full-on
album. Out September 15th.
Correct.
Movie of the week. But there's a great story behind how this album came together.
Yeah, why don't you tell me about it?
No, I can't. No, okay. That's why you're here.
Yes, we started making, so it kind of roughly started right before the pandemic or just in the beginning of it. Again, time, a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine had started to work on a movie and asked if I wanted to do the soundtrack for it. And I jumped at that because I've always wanted to score a movie. And so I came up with a bunch of melodies and matched everything to the movie and was very proud of my work. And then I was like, oh, I'm not being paid for any of it. It's going to be great. And I turned it all in and the director was like, no, I don't really like this. It's a little moody. And I was like, yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end of the day, they were like, can we just use some of your songs that you already made? And I was like, yes, that'll be fine. Of course.
Wow.
But I had really enjoyed the space and the process of building, you know, music specifically to moments, to visual moments. And I usually think like that a lot anyway. When I make an album, I kind of imagine what the story of it would be, even if it's super vague.
Was it a lot different than?
I guess in intention, yeah. Because that was how it initially started. And then it was kind of a combination of boredom and having everything be sort of tossed in the air that I decided to put together sort of a new kind of ragtag crew of people. That's different than who I had been traditionally playing with, you know, the previous years.
Yeah.
So I called up a bunch of friends of mine who were in like different bands in Austin, and another friend of mine named Cam, who, you know, he's in Nashville, but he was like a opener for us a few years ago. Just a bunch of people, like I put together a little like baseball team, you know.
Yeah.
And basically was like, do you guys want to go in and make sort of a meandering, aimless music project with me? And they were like, absolutely.
Are the songs that you produced originally for the film very different from what's on the album?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's not a direct one-to-one, you know, they were more or less the inspiration. There's a few of the themes that turned into songs on the record. Like there's the last song on the record is called Heartstopper. And that theme was the like couple in love theme for the movie. And basically what ended up happening is that we recorded a lot of different movements of stuff, you know, so we worked a lot with the concept of themes where like the album itself is pretty traditional in the sense of it just being songs, but
right.
There are different movements for each song. There's like, you know, a slow version, a fast version, a beach version in case that character like went to the beach or whatever, you know? And so we made all these different recordings and, what I'm doing along with the album is presenting the album in its traditional sense, but then there's going to be the alternate versions of every song available through a very bizarre system that I'm putting together right now.
Oh, what's that about?
It's just like a computer. Yeah. No, what I'm doing is coming up with a way that you can scramble and generate albums out of that pit of stuff. So basically a sort of regenerative album. Because there's so many, I wouldn't even call them B-sides. It's just sort of the alternate versions that I like. When I first started to like show the music to friends of mine, we just kind of put the session on in the background. Like, I went over to my friend's house and was like, do you want to hear some of the stuff we're working on? He was like, go for it. And we would just set all the mics up in the room and run them all day long. So each session, instead of it being like songs, they were just like 12 hours of audio. And then I had to go through and listen to all of it like I was doing a documentary of some sort, and then slice the songs out of that. So I just kind of put that on in the background, and my friend was like, honestly, if you just had this, I would kind of listen to it like this. And I was like, I guess I kind of would too, but that shouldn't be the album. And then I thought about it, like, how can I solve all these? How can I have everything?
So are you working on a way where if you're listening to the album, the album somehow would deliver different versions of the song so that your experience is changing every time?
Ideally, yeah. Like, what you'll be able to do is go to my website, and I'm working on a way that you can, like, put a word into it, you know, almost like a theme, you know, if you wanted to. Like, you could say, like, sci-fi or Western or whatever. And it would generate a title based on all these different titles we put together. And it would scramble all of the songs and give you a sort of randomized version of it in a randomized order. And hopefully it might link up in that perfect randomness where, like, somebody's going to generate a much better album than I put together. And it might match their day almost identically or whatever, you know. And so I'm excited to see what people will do with it. And then, it's like my plan is to have it be... You can sort of generate it and listen to it on the website, but if you want, you could pay for it. It'll just get emailed to you, and then you can upload the songs to YouTube or whatever you want, you know?
That's amazing.
Just get them out there.
I have never heard of something like that being done before.
We're going to try it.
Yeah.
It's being built. The machine is being built.
That's so cool. Yeah. Let's talk about Ready or Not.
Yeah.
It's a duet with Sierra Farrell. How did the two of you get together?
That's a prime example, is that song is kind of a latecomer to the group of music. We had played at Red Rocks. So also, this band became a band after we started to do this recording project.
Yep.
And then it was like, okay, well, pandemic is over-ish. Like, go play music. And I was like, do you guys want to be a band? And they were like,
sure.
Yeah, great. And we got thrown directly into the fire. I think our fifth show was Red Rocks, which is like the most daunting.
Yeah. It's a big,
like,
show.
Like it was like, okay, immediately play in Austin during the middle of summer, and I was like, we'll wear tuxedo jackets. It's like, I ended up in my underpants. It was a full blown thrown back into the world thing. So right after that happened, me and my bandmate Cam went up and did a classic, like, that was a lot. Let's go to Santa Fe and just kind of write a little bit, because I love to go to New Mexico. And went and we wrote Ready or Not and this song called Was Here that's on the record, and came back down and we started a tour again, and then, like, some COVID stuff happened and we had to stop, and it was really constantly intense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we decided, instead of, like, putting our tail between our legs, we had to cancel some shows. We were like, let's just go back to the studio. It's safe there. It's kind of in the woods, you know, like, so we did, and we recorded Ready or Not, and we did, like, seven versions kind of in a row. And that one that I used for the final Ready or Not with Sierra on it was somewhere in the middle, and it was like an up-tempo one. There's like a sadder one, you know, whatever. And we had talked about it, and we were kind of talking about the sort of multiverse aspect of all these songs, and we're like, what is a missing version of this? Like, and I had been listening to Islands in the Stream by Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, I know
a lot
song.
Of that. I'm sure
yeah,
you do.
I
yeah.
Too. Yeah.
And I was really fascinated about how that whole record was written by Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
That's right.
And so there's a whole, like, him doing the entire record front to, but he just wrote the whole thing and sent it to Kenny, and Kenny was like, all right, you guys do this.
Thanks.
You know? And I was like, it would be really fun to duetify it in that sense, kind of make it a shinier, you know, power duet. And my friend Cam was like, it'd be really cool to get Sierra on it. And I'm like, absolutely. But what are the odds that we would ever bump into her? You know, and we had gone on tour, but she's always busy, you know, it's that kind of thing. And she's a magical little creature. And like 2 weeks later, I was at home and she called me or sent me a text and was like, I'm on an airplane, like, going to Austin. And I'm like, do you have 2 hours? And she's like, sure. And so I drove by and picked her up from our mutual friend Nikki Lane's house. It was like I was picking a kid up from school. I was like, don't bring Nikki yet. Just come to the car. And so she, like, ran out to the car, picked her up. We went and hung out for a little bit. showed her the song. She nailed it in like 30 minutes, and then I dropped her back off at her mom's house.
It's a great track.
Yeah.
It's a great track.
It's great, yeah.
So I know you're from Austin. Mm-hmm. I lived there for about 5.5 years, and my kids were really little, from like 2007 to 2012. And at that time, the big thing was the movies. Spy Kids.
Oh, yeah.
All of them.
Oh, yeah. No
they
joke.
Were a big thing in my house.
Yeah.
And so, to my surprise, yeah. I had no idea you were in Spy Kids 3D.
I was, yeah. I absolutely was.
Were you a teenager then? Or
I was in high school. I think I was 15, maybe 16.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was an actor for years. You know, that was always what I wanted to do when I grew up. I wanted to be an illustrator and an actor, not a musician, not even a bit.
So when did that happen? When did you pivot?
Well, to me, it's all kind of one thing, I guess. I consider a lot of like expressing yourself through whatever art medium. I think
sure.
The medium kind of doesn't matter all that much. But it was a classic, like, corny story. You know, in middle school, I was convinced I was going to date my first girlfriend for the rest of my life. You know, I was like,
sure.
This worked out great. First girl I ever dated. I think this is going to last forever. And it didn't, and I had like a summer heartbreak, and then all I could do was listen to rap music and think I was working out. I was lifting like 10-pound weights, you know, in my room, being like, yeah, I'm so edgy. And she really liked guitar players, so I came up with sort of a half-assed vengeance, yeah. Like, she's going to come back from summer vacation, and I'm going to be so strong and be like shredding guitar. And it did not. Neither of those things happened.
Mm.
But being sad and being young and like playing guitar, getting past that first hump, which is just picking it up, you know,
right?
That's kind of what cauterized it. And then I found something totally different and something I just liked doing for myself. You know, it wasn't even really there was no means to it. But almost as soon as I started playing guitar, I started like assembling songs because I realized that I could record better than I could even play live. You know, I could spend all day
perfecting it,
just coming up with one thing, and if I got it right once, I could sing over it, and then people would be like, that's great. I'm like, I can't play that song. I have no idea how to do that.
Do you remember when it became a job, when you went from, oh, I think this is going to be a career, I could do this?
I sort of decided to make that push in like 2010. About that was when I left LA and moved back to Austin. And I you know, it sucks and is also really exciting to kind of make a business plan out of something that is so kind of freeform, and ideally sort of natural and organic and breathing and constantly changing or whatever. But I definitely learned, because I lived in LA for a long time and I lived in New York for brief little stints. I would go and hang out with friends. And both of those music scenes are really cutthroat and also very functional. And so I learned a lot from just watching other bands and watching, you know, how people approached, you know, playing music in giant cities like that.
Yeah.
And kind of put together a plan of how I wanted to do that in Austin. And I was like, if I just want to start playing residencies, playing all the time, you know, and work my way up from club to club in a systematic manner and then take the planet
over.
Yeah, you
know? Bob Schneider way.
Play
three nights a week at Threadgill's.
Well, I was like, I have to de-seat Bob and go farther, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, it's all been very one foot in front of the other since then. It's like getting to, I like to gradually
just
move forward.
Keep taking those next steps.
If I had shot to the moon at any point, you know, I think that's just really, that pressure change is hard on everybody. So gradual work is fine by me.
Yeah. Well, it's a terrific album. I had a chance to listen to it. The new single's amazing and excited about seeing you tonight at the Ritz.
Sweet, thanks.
Shaky Graves, thanks for coming by Studio J.
Of course, man. It's good to be here.
So the reason I chose William Peace was because of their stellar game design program. It's very rare to find a game design program in the United States at all, let alone North Carolina. And this place seemed like the right place for me for where I wanted to go and the connections I could make within the program.
Turn your hobby into a career in one of the highest paid professions in the country with William Peace University's Simulation and Game Design program. Master design, 3D modeling, and programming in a state-of-the-art space with the latest and most remarkable technologies available. Find out more at peace.edu.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines.
With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.